It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante along with Ross Tucker, and it's time for Ask Ross. First of all, Ross, speaking of Labatt Blue, we've got a holiday weekend coming up. We got to get a hold of Kevin to restock us on our Labatt Blue, don't we?
Without question. And it's so funny that you said that, Jim, because I am going somewhere tomorrow evening. I don't want to blow up the person that's inviting me and have people mad that they didn't get invited, and or I don't need the paparazzi in the bushes. But I've been told by the person that's having me over that he will be having Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Lime, actually, which I think I've had before, and it's very good. So this is not like, for the listeners, this is not like part of the thing that our guy Labatt Blue Kevin is paying for at all. This is the truth. I texted him and he said, hey, I'm thinking, he texted me back with three beers. One was somebody else, another beer that we won't say, but the other two were Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Lime. So I'm very fired up about that. What I like about Labatt Blue is it actually has flavor. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's kind of like a midway point, if you will, between like an IPA, which I enjoy a lot, and, you know, like the Coors Light, Bud Light, that's basically drinking water. Labatt Blue has a nice flavor to it. It's right in the middle there. And if you're going to be outside or by a pool, like I will be, Labatt Blue Lime is clutch. So yes, Kevin, we just said your name five times in 2 minutes. That's got to be worth at least a six pack, bro.
Exactly. Kevin. Well, just my quick Labatt Blue story is I was golfing last week, actually, with one of our listeners, Nick from Berwick. And Nick says, hey, Jim, I'll bring the beer. So we guess what he brought? He brought the right beer. Let's just put it that way. So Nick knows, as a listener of our show, Labatt beer is the right beer to bring along when golfing. All right, Ross, we got to get to our questions. And you know what our goal is today? Last week, we got to a total of two questions.
They were both our good, though. Today, they were both good, and the responses were good.
You know, one of the winners was Nick from Harrisburg, and I mentioned that to him when I reached out to him for winning. And he said, well, Jim, hey, quality over quantity, right? So, yes, last week we had quality, but today our goal is to get to at least three questions. So let's get to it. Let's start with Mike from Atlanta. Mike says, injuries can impact the starting lineup this year, and starting players who contact the COVID virus could miss a week or two at critical times. Ross, how would you suggest that Coach Franklin and the staff prepare the reserves for this inevitability?
Well, it's a terrific question, and I can tell you that it's a question that they are going over quite a bit in terms of strategy. And I think you have to start with, what are the rules? Like, what are the protocols that they need to know about? In other words, if a player tests positive, who then has to be in quarantine with him and for how long? And if the answer is everyone that's been in contact with him or everyone that's been in his meeting room or whatever it is, right? Well, then you almost have to work backwards from there, right? So the one thing I've thought about, you know, potentially offensive line coaches, every position having twice as many meetings. You know, now the players themselves, they have an NCAA time limit, so they would go to the same amount of meetings, but you would have, for example, your first string offensive line and maybe your third stringers. Maybe they meet at the normal time in the morning. And after practice, you meet with the second string and the fourth string. Because if everyone in the same meeting room has to be quarantined, if they're in the same group, you don't want that to happen. You don't want that to be the case. And so, even look at quarterback. I mean, I wouldn't want Sean Clifford and Will Levis in the same room if one of them gets it, if that means the other one would have to be quarantined. So it really starts there. I got to be honest with you, I'm not an expert on this. I don't pretend to be. But last I heard, I think that if you come into contact or have frequent contact with someone that tests positive, you're supposed to quarantine yourself. And so I would think that they would try to keep the twos away from the ones, as the case may be, so that if something does happen to the ones, that they're able to have the whole second string be ready. Or maybe it's even different than that, right? Maybe it's, you know, you have, you know, the left tackle, left guard, and center are in one meeting room, and the right guard, right tackle, they're with the second string in another meeting. I don't know. It's a mess, Jim. I mean, I've talked to several college coaches about it. No matter how you slice it, it's a predicament.
It really is. Now, I was just going to suggest the same thing. Do you split up the starters so if they're affected, you only get half the offensive line affected? But I can't imagine, Ross, that they would quarantine your contacts because it would be so hard to police that. You know, how close is close for that contact? No doubt if someone tests positive, they're going to be, you know, quarantined. But, you know, like you could devastate the quarterback room. I think it's going to be one of those, you know, how in major corporations or you don't have all the top guys fly in the same plane. I would make sure the backup quarterback and the starting quarterback never get close to each other, because that would probably be the most devastating if you lose multiple quarterbacks. It also leads to a question, and I know we addressed this a bit in quarter number one. Penn State, I don't know if you saw this, Sandy Barber announced they did 102 tests, and there was not one positive test at Penn State, which sounds great, but one could also argue Clemson, where they had 37 positives, are they reaching herd immunity? No one really knows what the best way to go here. And I better get to some more questions if I want to reach our goal of three questions. Next up is Brad from Percy, who asked, how are schools like North Carolina, Tennessee, and a few others that haven't won 10 games in years out recruiting Penn State? I get kids wanting to go to Clemson and Ohio State and so on, but I just don't see how other schools are doing better than Penn State this year, even despite Penn State's coaching changes. What do you say, Ross?
Well, so recruiting is always, it's always a momentum thing. And I think what happens is, you know, a school gets a kid or two, and then they start to get that momentum behind them. Mac Brown at North Carolina has always been a good recruiter. Tennessee has always been a good place for recruiting. You know, they've got unbelievable facilities. You're playing in the SEC. Football is extremely important there, and there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, I think the flip side for schools like that haven't been as good is the thought process is there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of chances to maybe play early in your career and to be part of the turnaround. You know, some of the same reasons why I think Penn State got some of the guys they got 4, 5, 3 years ago was guys that wanted to be part of the turnaround. I think that's, you know, what some guys are looking at Tennessee, North Carolina, a chance to play early, chance to be part of the turnaround. And then also, you know, who knows? Maybe those schools have done a better job with sort of recruiting in the coronavirus world. You know, I mean, it's a new game. It's a new strategy. And maybe they've had some techniques or things that they've taken advantage of that Penn State hasn't. It's really hard to know from the outside. I do know this. There's a lot of people that think there might be a lot of decommitments and that a lot can change between now and then, because a lot of kids are committing having never even visited some of these schools. And so maybe the counter argument is that Penn State clearly does a really good job when it comes to getting guys, when they're on campus, getting those guys to commit. But this is a year when they haven't been able to do that.
I have a theory I want to throw at you, and you kind of touched on it when you said about teams, our players going to teams who want to be part of the turnaround. But I think when a new coach comes into a school, they're able to sell hope. They don't have to live with the losing record of the last couple of years, because that was the old regime. So Mack Brown, he's in his second year at North Carolina. Is it Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee? This is a second or third year. So those coaches, I believe they're still able to sell hope. Charlie Weiss did it at Notre Dame. Brady Hoke did it at Michigan. And the reality of the team's record hasn't hit yet. I think you're even seeing that a little bit in Maryland with Loxley. They don't have to live with the previous coach's record. Now, in a year or two, they better start winning, or that recruiting isn't going to keep up. So, I don't know. What do you think of that theory, Ross?
Well, I understand it, and I think you're right. I guess I would just say it feels like then Penn State sort of in a middle ground where they're not getting the top kids, a lot of them, because they're not Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, but then they're also not getting the up-and-coming kids. I mean, at some point it feels like you're just kind of making an excuse then too, right? I mean, at some point it's like it's a result-oriented business, and they've got to get more of the good recruits to commit to Penn State, period.
Exactly, and that's why I think this season is so important. Those great recruiting years, what, in 17 and 18 or 18 and 19, those players should be peaking this season. So I think a real successful season this year is important for recruiting. All right, real quick, Jerry from Arlington, Texas. What do you see as the coaching technique differences between Phil Troutwine and Matt Limegrover? And does Troutwine's coaching technique lend itself more to a brawler like C.J. Thorpe or a finesse offensive lineman?
Well, so I haven't really studied Troutwine's techniques that closely, but I've talked to him a couple of times. And I think the one that jumps out the most is he's a believer in heavy hands and using your hands to actually knock defenders back and to be violent with their hands, whereas Limegrover was more about using your hands to pull defenders into you and keeping your body up close against them. So, you can really go either way with that one. I had 9 offensive line coaches in the NFL, Jim, so I was taught both, and both can be very effective. So it's we'll see the impact it has, but both those can be very effective.
All right, that's it for Ask Ross. We'll announce our winner at the start of quarter number 4.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app now and use promo code KSN to play your first 24 hours of casino risk-free up to $200. That's promo code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.